Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Maple Leaf Foods Major Sustainability Announcement Conference Call. At this time, all lines are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. If at any time during this call you require immediate assistance, please press star zero for an operator. Note that this conference is being recorded on Thursday, November 7, 2019. And I would like to turn the conference over to Janet Riley. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and welcome to our special media briefing. I will serve as your moderator today. Our news release about today's announcement was issued this morning at 7 a.m. on CNW and PR Newswire, and the materials are available on our website, mapleleaffoods.com/carbonstrategy. We're going to have some brief opening remarks and then a question and answer session, and I'm happy to introduce our two speakers, Michael McCain, our President and CEO, and Dr. Randy Huffman, our Chief Food Safety and Sustainability Officer. I'll now turn the call over to Michael McCain.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you for your interest in our announcement today. We are very proud, to say the least, of the direction that we're heading and the statement that we've made today. Indeed, it's very gratifying in many different ways and many different levels. Our announcement is deeply personal. It's aligned with our company's values, and it's directly connected to both our vision for Maple Leaf and the strategies of the company. In 2017, we established a vision for Maple Leaf Foods to become the most sustainable protein company on Earth. But it's clear that is a vision without an end. Given the impact that climate change is having on our planet, our vision is one that calls us to strive for continuous improvement by reducing our environmental footprint into perpetuity. Mission accomplished, as they say, will never be in our sustainability lexicon. To that end, I'm proud to say that today we've become the world's first major food company to become carbon neutral. Carbon neutral now. So how do we do that? How do we get to this point? Well, there are three critical actions. The first is this. Since 2015, we've absolutely made significant strides to reduce our environmental footprint intensity by 50% by 2025, which has been one of the most aggressive environmental footprint reduction targets in the industry. As a result of our robust carbon strategy over the last many years, we've reduced electricity intensity by 24%, water intensity by 16%, solid waste intensity by 22%, and our greenhouse gas emissions intensity by over 14%. But now we have increased our targeted reductions in greenhouse gas emissions by adopting science-based targets for reduction, which basically re-ups the commitments that we've made to date through to a new and bolder goal to the end of 2030. The science-based targets that we've adopted have been accepted by the Science-Based Target Initiative. And these emission reduction targets are aligned with the goals of the Paris Agreement on climate change and require us to reduce our emissions even as we grow. Science-based targets are difficult, they're challenging, and that's why only approximately 290 companies globally have had their targets approved by the Science-Based Target Initiative. In fact, we're one of just three animal protein companies globally that have set them. Finally, after an aggressive approach to reducing our emissions has been adopted, we've calculated our remaining unavoidable emissions at this moment and then invested in high-quality, credible, and verifiable projects throughout North America that will offset our footprint and bring us to a net neutral or carbon neutral position right now, right as we speak. These emissions reductions and avoidance projects include landfill gas, renewable energy, composting, biomass, and forestry projects. So if you hear some excitement and pride in my voice, you're not mistaken. This is an enormous milestone on our sustainability journey that requires effort, it requires dedication, and it requires resources. But the investments that we're making are going to drive returns not just to our business, but to the planet. So Randy, maybe you'd make, as our Chief Sustainability Officer, maybe you'd make some comments on this. Randy?
Thank you, Michael. I'm too very proud to be speaking to you today and for our company to be at this point in history. I'm thrilled that we're taking this leadership role in the fight against climate change. As an employee of Maple Leaf Foods, I'm extremely proud, and I know I represent the feelings of many of my colleagues across the business. Getting to this day has been a long process because setting science-based targets and becoming carbon neutral can't happen overnight. It takes time and a committed team of really dedicated professionals. That includes experts on our own staff, but also a collection of advisors that have been very helpful in our journey. Along the way, we've had full support from our board of directors, and we've taken the step to completely analyze our emissions footprint across our business. We've worked to determine how we can make further reductions, and we've begun to deploy those reductions activities throughout the network. Our portfolio of projects to offset our remaining unavoidable emissions was selected with the input of our expert advisors because they are credible, independently certified, and reflect our company's geography. The data is clear that customers, especially our younger customers, are more interested than ever before in the environmental impact of the foods that they choose. At Maple Leaf, we've shown that we can make nutritious and delicious protein products that are also sustainable. This is a great day for Maple Leaf Foods, for all of our customers, and for the planet.
Operator, we'll be happy to take questions and answers now.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press star followed by 1 on your touch-tone phone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt acknowledging your request. Questions will be taken in the order received. And if you would like to withdraw your request, simply press star followed by 2. And if you're using a speakerphone, we ask that you please lift the handset before pressing any keys. And the first question will be from Alexandra Sagan at the Canadian Press. Please go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted a little bit of clarification on, you say you've become the world's first major food company to become carbon neutral as of right now. How are you defining major?
Good question. We're just surveying large-scale food enterprises that we're aware of and that are publicly traded around the world. It's very difficult for us to survey all food enterprises in every geography anywhere in the world. So I have no doubt that there are some smaller food companies in some corners of the world that have taken this position as well. But of the major food companies, publicly traded, large-scale food enterprises that we've surveyed, I think we're the first. So we're the first that we're aware of, and we did an exhaustive investigation on that. If you've got any examples to the contrary, I'd be certainly interested in hearing it, but we couldn't find one.
Great, thank you. And then I was also hoping that you could just talk a little bit more about, you mentioned the young demographic is especially interested in how their food is sourced. Any comment sort of on how this might help you bring in more new customers?
Sure. I mean, we made this decision for two reasons. The first is that, it's clear to all of us and all of the stakeholders at Maple Leaf Foods that we are facing this climate crisis, and it's a crisis that requires action today. But secondarily, this is perfectly aligned with the vision of Maple Leaf and the business strategies of Maple Leaf, which is to become the most sustainable protein company in the world. And we're optimistic, I think is probably the right word, that a significant portion of our consuming public will be attracted to the idea of buying food products, meat protein products, plant protein products that are produced by a carbon neutral company. And so we're hopeful that that will translate into both customer and consumer support.
Okay.
Great, thanks. That's all from me.
Next question.
Thank you. Next question will be from Peter Sklar at BMO Capital Market.
Michael, I understand how this initiative makes a valuable contribution to the broader community, but if we were to look very narrowly from the perspective of Maple Leaf Foods, can you talk about, like, is this expected to generate a positive return, particularly when we look at the, you know, the projects that you've undertaken to offset the unavoidables?
Yeah, certainly there's a cost attached to becoming carbon neutral, and we're not ashamed of that. In fact, we're very proud of the fact that we're willing to put a stake in the ground. You know, carbon neutrality and taking care of the planetary needs of the future is not free, and it would be irresponsible for us to try and position it as a cost-free. Having said that, the commercial realities, Peter, of this of our enterprise are that more and more customers, more and more consumers are interested in aligning themselves with businesses and brands that are behaving in responsible ways, and we're cautiously optimistic, I think is the right term, that enough of them will support us over time that this will be a good outcome for the share owners over time as well. So we're hopeful that this will serve the needs of all the stakeholders, but ultimately, I think right now in dealing with the climate crisis that we're facing, we have to take bold action around that.
Okay, thank you.
Next question.
Thank you. Next question is from Colin Slark at Brandon Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi there. As Maple Leaf is a major employer here in Brandon with the large meat processing plant, I was wondering if you could tell me if this move to go carbon neutral will affect your operations here.
It will not. Not in any way. It won't affect our operations in any way in terms of their position in the community. But here's how it will affect the operation of Brandon. Every human being that operates in the Brandon facility, like every other human being in the Maple Leaf organization, will be asked to put their best foot forward in finding ways for us to reduce our footprint. And, you know, I'm actually quite proud of the team in Brandon and the progress that they've made to date, and I'm pretty sure with the commitments we have on the docket now, that they will re-up on those commitments and find further ways to significantly improve and reduce their footprint, along with all the other Maple Leaf operations. But I personally think it'll do nothing but strengthen the team in Brandon.
Just a quick follow-up. What sort of things has the team in Brandon done so far to reduce their footprint?
Reducing your carbon footprint or your broader environmental footprint is inside an operation like at Brandon is what would be commonly described as 1,000 points of light. There are any combination of both operational practice, small granular operational practice day in, day out that helps contribute to the reduction of your footprint. But it's also it also spans everything from the equipment choices that we make, finding new pieces of equipment that are more energy efficient, finding ways to operate that equipment more effectively. We have, for example, converted all of the lighting in the Brandon facility, as we have in most of the others, to LED lighting, as an example. But whether it's capital equipment related or operating related, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of small little projects that all add up and contribute to a significant reduction in our footprint.
All right, thank you. That's all from me.
Okay, next question.
Thank you. Next question is from John Gregg at Farm Terrier. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm curious how far down your production chain you go to make these calculations. For example, do you include crops that come into your hog farms to feed your pigs? And then do you include independent hog and poultry producers that are supplying animals to your plants?
So the science-based target initiative has a globally accepted definition for the identification of carbon emissions. They're described in three different buckets: scope 1, scope 2, and scope 3. Scope 1 emissions are our own direct emissions, things that are directly in our control. Scope 2 emissions are also in our control, but they are the emissions attached to our energy sources. Scope 3 emissions are the emissions of our suppliers, people or companies that supply us. Although we are not directly in control of those emissions, we have some, to some degree, influence over those emissions as a Scope 3 supplier. In our case, the Scope 1 and 2 emissions includes our own operations, inclusive of the livestock production. The Scope 3 emissions are grain suppliers that supply feed to us. So our science-based target reduction is a 30% reduction, absolute reduction for Scope 1 and 2, or those emissions that are directly in our control, and a 30% intensity reduction from our suppliers. So we will be asking all of our suppliers to participate in this journey with us, recognizing it's as important for them as it is for us and all of our stakeholders to do our best in demonstrating leadership to fight this climate crisis we face.
Okay, next question.
Next question will be from Connie Swaim at Farm World Newspaper.
Hi, I was wondering if this will affect anything at the Shelbyville, Indiana plant that you're currently building, or if it will actually make it easier since that plant is still in the construction phase.
It'll make it easier in the sense that it affects our equipment choices, because obviously we would be selecting individual pieces of equipment that demonstrate a much more significant energy utilization efficiency than maybe the alternatives. So it would certainly affect it that way, but it doesn't affect the underlying direction of the investment. I would tell you that, you know, we have to pay very careful attention, and I personally would encourage all business leaders throughout North America and around the world to follow this lead. The one thing it does point to is that in our Scope 2 emissions, the size of those Scope 2 emissions is highly dependent, in fact it is singularly dependent, on the footprint of your energy sources. And it makes it much more attractive to locate in places that are that have made commitments to alternative energy sources rather than locations that haven't.
So was Shelbyville able to give you anything that helped you make this decision then, even when you chose them, in terms of that?
No, that wasn't part of our locational decision. No,
okay.
not at this stage. You know, I think going forward it's a factor, and we have to continue to be factor, and it will impact our level of encouragement of our local energy supply partners to find their own paths to improve their footprint.
Thank you very much.
Next question.
Next is Alexandra Fagan at the Canadian Press. Please go ahead.
My question was already answered. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question will be from Harold McNeely, private investor.
Hello. Yeah, on September 24th, the CBC had an article describing the Liberals' promise to halve the tax rate for clean tech companies as part of their long-range climate action plan. And in that, they describe net neutral companies getting tax breaks from 15 for larger companies, 15 down to 7.5%. I was wondering if you had an eye on that as you make these decisions.
We did not. It was not a factor in our decision making, and I don't have any particular view on whether that's appropriate or inappropriate. We made our own decisions based on what was right for all of the, what we believe is right for all of our stakeholders, including the communities that we operate in, and our responsibility as leaders in our industry. But we did not. That was not a factor.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you do have a question, please press star followed by one on your touchtone phone. And currently, Ms. Riley, we have no other questions registered. Please proceed.
Okay. Well, then that concludes our media briefing today. But if you have any additional questions, please feel free to email me at janet.riley@mapleleaf.com. And we'll get back to you promptly. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does indeed conclude your conference call for today. Once again, thank you for attending. And at this time, we do ask that you please disconnect your lines. Enjoy the rest of your day.